From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond, California.
San Jose.
Union City.
Eastside. Jackson.
I'm from the Campbell area.
Hayward.
Coming up, we'll follow a young teacher through her first year in an Oakland school.
This is the beginning of high school. It's not the end of it. And we have to work. We have to catch up.
We'll hear about her challenges.
When you've got what feels like 35 kids bouncing off the walls, being loud and disrespectful, it's really hard not to sink to their level.
And we'll celebrate her victories.
I am just having a really great time in the classroom. I'm enjoying what I do.
An Oakland teacher's first year. That's coming up on this special edition of Cross Currents.
My name is Diana Arbus. I'm 27, and I'm a student teacher at Oakland High School.
We're calling today's show Diana's Diaries, documenting a teacher's first year. We produced this series last year when Diana Arbus was in a master's program at Mills College. She was learning how to become a teacher. In order to earn her degree, she had to tackle a real classroom. And while she had the guidance of a more experienced mentor, that's her coordinating teacher or CT, the goal was for her to stand on her own. The student body at Oakland High, where Diana did her student teaching, is made up of kids from diverse backgrounds. Many come from some of the roughest neighborhoods in the city, and not all of them start high school at the same level.
When I first started out, I wasn't prepared. I didn't expect this. That I didn't know that students would come in not knowing what I considered basic things. Like, you sit in the seat that's assigned to you. You write your name on every assignment. And when an assignment is done in class, you complete it.
Today we're going to hear Diana's radio diary of her first year teaching at Oakland High in a ninth grade English class. We'll hear what was challenging and what was inspiring, too. For instance, on Diana's first day, she spent some time looking at photos of students on the walls of the main office, all students of color like her. Diana's Filipina, the daughter of immigrants. And in that moment, before she ever set foot in her classroom, she understood what it might mean for those students to see her as a leader.
To be the English teacher who stands at the front of the class and looks out at these faces that look like mine and share my experience too, and just say, I'm your English teacher, and, you know, my parents are immigrants too. I was just so moved, just standing in the main office.
Here's Diana's diary.
So first and second period is the same set of students. First period is writing workshop, and second period is English for the ninth grade. And that first week was more about get to know the curriculum and get to know the students. And so as I'm taking over the classroom, I'm also preparing all this work to get my teaching credential in the state of California. Oh, also, I have been a full-time grad student this entire time. So I took three grad seminars.
7:18 a.m. And, oh man, I don't want to go. But I have to. The bus is coming in less than half an hour.
I would wake up at 6:30, 6:45, just kind of have that hour at home to, you know, shower, have coffee, maybe breakfast if there was time, and I would rush out the door to catch my bus. So we would get to the classroom 8:10, class starts at 8:15, and at noon I would have to go and catch my bus. And then I would just go to Mills. 1 o'clock is the seminar. And that would end at 7:30, 8. And then I would go home. I would crash. There's just so much going on. I was learning how to be a teacher, but I was also learning how to be a researcher. But I was also being on my own, like coming out of a relationship, and I moved twice in the fall. It was just too much. And that's what was surprising to me, is even though I was prepared, or I knew it would be difficult, it was so much more difficult than what I expected.
It's Tuesday, December 18. So today, student teaching. At this point, at the end of the semester, when I've given everything away. Like, everything is gone. The gas tank is below empty. I wish we could move at a much slower pace. I wish we could really take the time to go deeply into it and talk about why it matters, because I think that's where everything should start. I've just felt this pressure to accomplish 3 bullet points by the end of the given period so that we will be on track to do so-and-so assessment. I mean, that's a major question I've had. How do we slow it down so that the kids can understand, but also meet this pace? It's like this super fast beat on the metronome, and you're trying to keep up with it, and you know that you're losing kids along the way.
So I began with, I think, 35 students, and over time, like, I've lost students to suspension, to habitual truancy. They are on the roster, their name is on the roster, but they just don't come to class. Where are they?
It's Thursday, December 20. It's about 1 o'clock. Not everyone showed up to class today, but let's just say maybe 30 students were in class. And only 16 students turned in work. And of the 16, maybe only 4 students completed a significant amount of the outline. I'm baffled. Because maybe they're just so overwhelmed by the material that they just gave up on it. They can't even bring themselves to start. I'm just overwhelmed right now by the range of ability in the class. I feel like if I had conferences, like individual conferences with each student, that would do so much good. So much more would be done there than a 59-minute period where I try to help everybody. It's Friday, December 21, and it was the last day of student teaching of fall 2012, and it feels amazing. Oh my gosh, what a semester.
Oh, I'm so nice. I'm such a nice person, and I can't be nice. I can't be nice in there. If I let people jerk me around in my personal life and I don't stand up for myself, it's that much harder to come into the classroom and enforce, like, no eating in the classroom, no cell phones.
I think what I've learned in the hardest way this fall is I need to take care of myself before I can take care of 35 kids who have a variety of needs. But student teaching is done, and I look forward to the clean slate that spring 2013 will bring. And I'll enter it as a second semester student teacher. So I'll be a better teacher.
This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Diana's Diaries, documenting a teacher's first year. When we left off, student teacher Diana Arbus was ready for a break.
at this point, at the end of the semester, when I'm just so, I've given everything away. Like, everything is gone. The gas tank is below empty.
Diana quickly realized that if she was going to prepare these kids for adulthood, she would first have to command their respect in the classroom. We return to her audio diary entries from January. And a note to our listeners, we're not using students' names in order to protect their identities.
It's Sunday, January 27. It's around 8:30 p.m. And tomorrow we kick off our Warriors Don't Cry unit.
Thinking about Warriors Don't Cry...
And Warriors Don't Cry is a memoir written by a woman who is telling about the time that she was part of the Little Rock Nine, this group of African American students who are the first to integrate an all-white high school in the South. And it just occurred to me that we're going to talk about Jim Crow, desegregation, the civil rights movement, and nobody in my class is white. You know, how weird is that? Where are their white peers going to school? You know, I feel ill-equipped to teach this. I don't know. What would I do differently? I wish I could team teach this with a history teacher. But my ninth graders don't take history. Oh my gosh. We need history teachers.
Okay, everybody. Once you get your square. And that's the little cootie catcher.
Oh, cootie catcher.
So we're going to create some terms. Hold it in half.
It's Wednesday, January 30, 10:30 p.m. So this morning, I just about had enough with the class. Because I had a lesson planned out, and we didn't get to 90% of it. Now, half of it is my fault. I'm still new. I'm getting back into the groove of teaching. But this morning, I really needed my students to meet me halfway and just to show me basic respect. People talked back to me. They are walking across the room. Two students were found by the school officer wandering the halls. Unacceptable. And the rest of the year can't be like this. And the thing is, I'm excited about the material we're going to cover this year, but we're not going to get to any of it because of our classroom management issues. So I said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to call your parents at home. And then I went on with the rest of my day. I went to my grad school. I was in two research seminars tonight. And I got four phone calls in a row from his father. And when I finally called him back in between seminars, his father was livid. He completely ripped into and I felt it. You know, I wasn't the one being scolded, but oh man, that hurt. His angry father saying, "What is wrong with you? You know better. You apologize to your teacher." And then I called another parents. How many more of these can I take?
Yeah, so can you say your name and what grade you're in? And...
My name is Jeff, and I'm in the ninth.
Miss Arbin's too nice, like, you know, she needs to work on just taking control over the class a little bit, because they get noisy sometimes, or like, give the kids a little scare, you know what I'm talking about?
It's Monday, February 4, 5:30 p.m. I'm really frustrated. I'm frustrated. Today was still pretty awful. I called three parents during third period today, and I am just gonna make phone calls until this works. I don't know. So this came in the mail today. You know what that is? that's my way of calling their attention. Now, I'm going to try it tomorrow for the first time. It's a cowbell. Seriously. So, it's pretty awful, right, that I have a cowbell? But something needs to happen. I've tried different things. I've flicked the lights. I've done the clapping thing, where you go, if you hear my voice, clap once, clap. If you hear my voice, clap twice, clap, clap. You know, that doesn't work after a while. I've tried voices off in 3, 2, 1. That kind of worked. But I think I'm going to use this cowbell. I don't like it. I don't like this. I need it to work out. How does it work out? What are the answers? Someone needs to tell me the answers. It's Tuesday, February 5, 6:30 p.m. Today was crazy. I used the cowbell, which, oh gosh, it didn't work. It didn't work. And I shouted, I yelled, and they got quiet immediately. I hate yelling, but sometimes you just need to let them know that you get mad. But just not all the time. I can't be mad all the time. Oh my gosh.
When kids acted out, they would do things like break up into group work, and these groups would not stay as groups. The cell phones would come out, and they'd be all on Facebook. And I remember one student, this drove me absolutely crazy. Today, took a phone. He just walked across class. He took a phone out into the hallway, and I went out there. I said, what are you doing? You should be in your seat. We should be discussing this book. And he said, oh, I'm on the phone with my mom. I said, no, give me your phone now. And I was in the hallway. And I knew the students had their ears perked up, and I knew they were watching and listening. So I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to write a referral and call security. I said, okay, do it, you know? So we're having a showdown in the middle of class. I'm frustrated because I want to get to the material, but also I recognize that examples need to be made, and not like meaningless examples. That's what I'm so fueled by right now, is that I'm learning that discipline is okay. Discipline is good. Keeping the students in line is showing how much I care about them and their education. And something happened today where all this was going on. There's like students whispering to each other, oh my gosh, Ms. Arvison is on a roll. And I said, well, what I'm learning from Warriors Don't Cry is that for people of color like us, there are already so many obstacles to us getting a better education. And I get so upset when we make it harder for each other to get that education by having our phones out, by being disruptive, by all this. And we should help each other get through the education system. We shouldn't hold each other back.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. We've been following Diana Arbus through her first year as a teacher at Oakland High School. And by the spring, she's finally starting to feel in control.
I wasn't even ready to start class. I look up and students are quietly at their seat waiting for class to start. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
But she's not finished yet. Diana has until June to get her students to focus on their lessons and beat some grim statistics. It turns out only 60% of students in the Oakland Unified School District graduate. What happens in ninth grade could either set them on a path to success or not. Here's Diana.
Right now,
why do some kids come into the classroom equipped to do school and other students just don't know? And it's not like the kids aren't smart, because they're actually really smart, incredibly shrewd, and just they know how life works. But that has nothing to do with knowing how to navigate school and just knowing school things, like you sit in the seat that's assigned to you. You don't get up and wander around the, you know, you don't wander around the room. And you don't
shout back at the teacher when something upsets you. And I'll get papers with students' names at the top and nothing. Nothing else. I only see my students 59 minutes a day. It's really hard to give them the time that the more personalized attention that I think they need. It's Monday, April 15. I gave a test this morning, and just announced that they were not gonna even try to take the test. Very cheerfully, they're saying this, and I'm just annoyed that they would announce this to the entire class, because that undermines me. But also, why wouldn't you just try? Just try. Throw words on the page. See what happens. That was learned, you know? And it's my job to teach a different habit. But it's overwhelming for me. It's overwhelming. How do I even work with that? At the beginning of the year, we had a couple of really especially difficult students. They stopped coming to class. And I've lost one student especially. She would come in high. I could smell it. But I just was consistently nice to her. And always, I learned to take this approach that when students, even if students came in late, I would say, hey, you're late. But I'm really glad that you're here. Like, welcome. And she really, over time, she kind of responded to that. And then she was making up work. She was sitting in front of the room. She would participate. And then she just disappeared. And I happened to mention to my CT during our daily debriefing, it's such a shame that the student hasn't come back to class. What happened? So my CT pulled up that student's information on the online gradebook and let me know that she's in juvie, or juvenile detention. In first period is writing workshop, and they would respond to an assignment, like, describe the street that you live on. And I remember one student, they're all 14, 15, and he just read aloud the story of him standing at the bus stop and having a gun pulled on him. And I remember freaking out about that quietly in my mind, and then going to Mills and sitting in seminar where there's like birdsong and just pretty foliage everywhere, and just it didn't match at all. It was so confusing to me to just kind of hold those two different realities. And I know that that makes its way into the school too. It's Tuesday, May 14. Yesterday we were taking a really difficult exam, and in the middle of the exam, they're stressing out about having enough time, and so an announcement came over the speakers about us all, the entire school, being on lockdown. So I have no idea what lockdown means. No explanation was really given. It was just really vague. I was crazy annoyed. I was just like, how long are we going to be locked in here? And is this going to disrupt the flow of the school day? Today, they said that a boy was held up at gunpoint by his classmates, and he was told to hand over his iPhone. They stole his iPhone. And this happened in the bathroom. And they never found the gun. They never found it. We just don't know. Maybe it's still at school. We don't know. And so I found this out at the end of, around noon today. My grad school is, the graduation is this Saturday. So it's just, how can I go on lockdown and have sophomores hold up a classmate
at gunpoint and then have a graduation to celebrate. I don't know. Maybe this is the way my brain works. I'm trying so hard to make sense of everything and it doesn't make sense. Like, it just doesn't.
You're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan, and we're spending today with first-year teacher Diana Arbus. When she recorded her diary, she was finishing up her teaching credential program at Mills College in Oakland. We'll rejoin Diana now in June of 2013 in the final weeks of school. Diana's students are reading Romeo and Juliet.
It's Wednesday, May 29. We've been reading Romeo and Juliet for a couple weeks now, and today we began talking about Act 4.
The themes are definitely themes that the kids can connect with, like rebellion from parents, young love, passionate love, violence. But it's just, there was this language standing in the way, and they couldn't, reading it in class just didn't work. It didn't work. It was just so boring for me and for them. So the curriculum guidebook that I was working with was very much about experiencing Shakespeare by doing Shakespeare, performing Shakespeare.
It's Thursday, June 6, about 12:15 p.m. Today, we rehearsed our Romeo and Juliet scenes, and there's some exciting stuff going on. I glanced over at one group, and they're doing Act 3, Scene 1, where Tybalt and Mercutio both die.
Tybalt! You rat catcher!
What wouldst thou have with me?
There were certain students who just were really into it. They were so into the acting. And that was really cute to see. It is so adorable to watch these kids try these horrible British accents. We had sword fights in the classroom at the appropriate moments, and I think the yardstick was definitely used. And I'd have to break up certain fights because they went on way too long and got a little too rambunctious and a little too real.
A plague on both your houses!
I said, okay, and scene, you know. It's Saturday, June 8th. Yesterday was good, and oh my gosh, I feel like I kind of have the hang of it, but the last day is on Monday. We also have some goodbyes. Well, I was reflecting on this with my CT the other day. How do teachers say goodbye to their students at the end of the school year? I want to say goodbye, because this is a special class. I hope most of them show up. I know like a couple, 2-3 students haven't been showing up. I haven't seen them this marking period. And the other one, she ran away from her group home, it sounded like. She seemed like a really like nice person. I don't know. But I don't think she's going to show up on Monday.
I think what a lot of this year has been about is just living in contradiction and being comfortable with uncertainty and questions. That's what I continue to realize is there's so much I don't know. And I would be a better teacher if I continue to educate myself about these larger things that I'm a part of. I'm Filipino. I'm Filipino-American, and here I am, like a person of color, teaching the colonial powers language to other students of color. And I was just so troubled by that. Like, what am I doing? What am I participating in? It's so important for us to know English, to know academic English, which is the language of power. We all need to know this in order to navigate this world with empowerment and agency. But what I would love to do is figure out how to teach that without erasing the strengths that their homes and families have already. Can we do both? So the lessons I've learned, I would say that it's so important to take care of yourself, to be strong in your personal life, happy and healthy, so that you can be strong at work. And another lesson I've learned was you need to lean on the people around you. Teaching is too hard to do by yourself. It's too hard. Who thought up these movies with these teachers as Jesus Christ? Like, no, that's not what happens. That's not what happens. I had my CT the entire time. She was my, I don't want to call her my training wheels because she's a human being. But she, I'm going to miss talking to her every day.
It's Monday, June 10, 9 p.m. Today was my last day with the kids. My last day. I was not prepared for it. I mean, I was. I knew it was coming in this distant, intellectual way, right? But it just came so quickly and yet not soon enough. It was a celebration of all the hard work that we've done, but I guess they were definitely restless and ready for summer. They have been for weeks, and I was just so tired. But they did something for me, and it was so sweet. And that's when I thought I was going to cry in there. One student pulled out a poster. I have it right here, this poster. She rolled it out and she said, "Miss Arbus, this was my idea." She made it a big point to tell me that. And I didn't know what to say. I was so uncomfortable with goodbyes, I guess. I should have hugged her or something, right? But I got emotional and I was no longer Miss Arbus. I was just this terribly insecure student teacher who was just astonished that the kids thought I did okay. "Hi, Ms. Arbus. I'm just reading their words. You are the first Filipino teacher I had in the U.S. And I'm so glad you taught us Romeo and Juliet anyways." His other student, "I'm gonna miss you, girl." That's how you talk to a teacher. "You were the best teacher." Really, guys? Really? This one student, "Thanks for teaching yous." I think he meant us. These are funny notes to an English teacher, guys. I'm going to be a better teacher to future students. But I know I'm not yet a strong teacher. I'm just a student teacher who survived. It's funny because I left the classroom and one student said, "Don't forget me." I can't forget her. I can't forget any of them. They're my first students. My first ones.
Diana's Diaries, documenting a teacher's first year, was produced by Martina Castro, with help from Alyssa Kapnick, and edited by Casey Miner. Thanks also to Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Maya DePaula Hanica, Mary Willis, and Karen Gordon for recording and transcribing. And a very special thank you to Diana Arbus, Oakland High School, and Mills College in Oakland. Also, thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.